We got plenty of seats.
Yeah.
Do we have the more seats up front? By the way, thank you for the big boys to be up front too. This is nice. And if there are bigger boys, as long as you're under 75, you're still a big boy, right? Welcome to be up front. All right, let's begin with a hymn. This goes for big boy, big girls, or even little boys. Anyone? You have one that you like? One?
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
Number 42.
Oh, that's nice, eh? You don't have to open the pages. Oh, this is my favorite. Can I? Yeah, you're laughing. You know what I'm going to say. can I tell you how we sing it, just in case of those who haven't? We'll sing this verse twice. The first time, we'll sing it the way it is. The second time around, we're going to change the words to a little child of 70. I know someone told me they're 71, so he qualifies too. And the number of, yeah, they're pretty young, aren't they, at 71? A little child of 70 or even 34. How's that? We'll change the second time around, we'll sing it that way. So we'll sing it the way it is the first time. A little. Look to the Lord first. Our blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks this morning for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have been reminded in this little hymn, how we have wrought salvation through his blood. And this morning, we look to thee once more. We commit this meeting into thine hand. We think of many little children here. May it be of 7 or even 3 or 4. We think of the older ones too. We commit each and every one into thine hand. We pray especially for those who are still lost. We pray that thou would help them to repent. Help them to change the mind Godward and receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior. So we commit this meeting into thine hand, looking for help, looking for blessings too, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, before we sing another hymn, I want to add a comment. It sounds like old comment. You know, one of the advantage when you stand in the middle and listen to the singing is very interesting, because sitting where you are, you can hear the person sing next to you. But when you're in here, you got to hear the music from all direction. But there's one little problem. The timing is different. I know some people told me they call that the echo of grace, but it's not very good. So we have to sort of sing, not just listening and waiting for the sound from the opposite end to come to you. So if we pay a little bit more attention, because if you wait for that sound to come to you, you're slowing down and you're dragging the song on and on. So on the next one, let's see if we can sing it from our hearts first, and it's to the Lord. Who? Maybe I'll pick a girl this time. Yes. I'm sorry, number 44. Oh, I like this. You know, in our Sunday school, we had it for years, and this is always one of the favorite. Hymn number 44. Into a tent. Now, I'm curious, did that singing sound any better? Did the other side sound better to you this time? I thought it did. It was lovely standing in here. Now, just to be fair, we're to make a joyful noise, isn't it? The Lord, when it ascends up, it makes it so nice. You know, sometimes we sing for the older ones, to all our prayers and praises. You know, sometimes it's not that good, but it says Christ adds his sweet perfume. So we do it from our heart. Let's have another one from this side. Ha! 34. Oh, I have to turn the page this time. Oh, I like this too. Precious. Precious blood of Jesus. Precious. We're just going to stop singing for a moment. I'll tell you why. I had great difficulty trying to find out what would the Lord have for me to speak on. You know, we often think of Sunday school. We see little children. We ought to speak to too, but when we come in a group like this, I see the little children that I used to know are a little bit bigger children, and I struggle to see if there's a message for all. Now, I really don't have a lot of things planned. Actually, I never do. So we trust the Lord will put some words and things in there. So I don't know. The reason I tell you this is I don't know how long I'll talk. It may be just 10 minutes or maybe hour and a half. Oh, no, I guess I don't have hour and a half. And we may have time for your verses. We may not. Just so you know, someone brought me these stuff called Dum Dum. I don't know if I like this. You know, I struggle with that too, because one of the Sunday school we had, someone gracious enough to brought me some stuff for the kids. They go, you got two bags to choose from. One side with a thing called Dum Dum, and the other bag is called Smarties. So at least the kids have a choice to have be Smarties or Dum Dum, but all I have is this. But then on the way walking down here, I go, you know, this is actually very appropriate. Because as you hold on to the Dum Dum, you'll go, dummy. Well, the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God actually said, fooled. We don't use that word much anymore, do we? Calling someone a fool. Do you ever say that to your friend? You're a fool. No, you only say that to your brothers, right? You're a fool. Well, the Word of God said, somebody, he called them fool. The fool said in their heart, there is no God. Isn't that interesting? Now, if we have time to say verses, I would love to give you one, perhaps two of those enough. But I want you, as you're licking this, he said, thou fool, you are going to be consumed. Because God said, fools will be consumed in the lake of fire. If you don't believe in God. But you know, scripture go further than that. It says, if thou believe in God, thou doest well. He said, the devil believe in it. They tremble at it. So we need to believe in the blood of Jesus. So every time you take the dum-dum now, I want you to think and say, thou fool, you will be consumed. So now let's talk about the little things that I have on my heart. We had before us a number of things, but I was thinking, let me just read a verse. How many are your Bible with you? Let's turn to the book of, I believe it's in 2 Timothy. And then we will talk. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And this is for the older little kids here too. The older boys and girls as well. It says, study. Oh, that scares us already, right? I know when someone say the study, as soon as I see that word, I go, oh, I don't know how to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't think we'll have time to go into all the depths of the truth of this verse, but what I had in on my heart is the word workman. Now, I thought of it too late. I only thought of that a day or two ago. I would have brought my overall, so you can see that I would have looked like a workman, but for now, as a workman, I think I need to roll up my sleeves, right? So that what workmen do, well, at least those who work in the office will roll up the sleeves to pretend they can do some work. Am I right on that? We don't go out there and get a shovel, and sometimes maybe at the best, we will bring our tools in to pretend that we are workmen. I remember one time I had an employee who was a contractor, and something needed done, so I brought my tools in. They said, oh, can you use my tools? He looked at it, and he started laughing. He go, what's wrong with my tools? He said, they look brand new. So he knew I wasn't much of a workman. You know, as a workman, we need tools. But sometimes we think having tools is good enough. So I would say, I like this tool. Oh, does it work? And another tool I like is pliers, right? So what if I want to be a workman and say, I think I'm going to talk to Mr. Smith here to get some tips on how to do dentistry. I got a drill. I got a plier. I will get some tips from him. And that we're even doing a 2-for-1 special if you come in and let me try it. Pull one tooth, the second tooth is free. That's just in case if I pulled the wrong one. Does this make me a workman? Okay, the another one I didn't bring with me is I like my hammer too. It seems to fix a lot of problems. Where we just force our way through on that. But here it says to study. Now, I know some of you are going to go, the Darby translation, we'll deal with that in a minute. Please bear with me on that, because I get that often. Study. Now, how many young people here have a cell phone on them? I know this is an exception now. I think almost every place you go, put your phone away. I want you to bring your phone, take your phone out. We're going to do some math, because I used to do math and people go, oh boy, math. You know where your calculator is. Have you ever used it? Good. Now, workman is interesting. People that are in the apprenticeship, they know that you can't become a master overnight, can you? You know, today, the other problem we have with workmen is, or with most people, is I read 3 articles on the internet. I know. Be very careful. So in the trades, Mr. Mearns told me that someone he knows very well went to school for a few years. I forget what. I don't listen well neither. And because he was so good, they gave him a Golden Hammer Award. Am I right in saying that? Wow. It proved that he's now a master at his trade. Now, just so you, nothing of these are golden here. I couldn't afford to get Golden Hammer just to show you. So, from what I understand, on an average, they say you need to spend 10,000 hours to be a master at something. Now, let me clarify this. The Word of God is more than just studying. You need to be before the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that would help us and make good of it to learn more about Christ. But let's just use that principle. 10,000 hours. If you were to spend 50 hours a week working, how many weeks would it take? I know it's a trick question. So you put in 10,000 and you divide that by 50. How many weeks? 200 weeks. How many years is that? We can't do math. How many? So if you spend 50 hours on something a week, it would take 4 years to be good at it. Now, everything's different, right? Some might take longer, some take, you know, a doctor would, I hope they take longer, because I know they practice on you as well, but it's another story, right? So 4 years. Now, let me change the question. How many here spend 50 hours a week studying the Word of God? Oh, I better put my hand down first. No? So it's hard to become a master from the worldly standpoint to become a master in the Word of God. I know people go to seminary and all that, which I don't believe is proper from the Word of God. So let's drop the number, 10 hours. If you spend 10 hours of the Word of God and you study on it, how long would it take? Well, actually, it's quite simple. That's 1/5. So it would take 5 times longer. So what's 5 times of 44 years? 20 years. Wow. Wait a minute. How many spend 10 hours a week studying the Word of God? I got this hand's coming back down. Okay, let's see if we be practical. 1 hour. That's a few minutes a week. Okay, we need a calculator again. So 10,000 hours divided by one. We really don't need a calculator for that, but that would be 1,000 weeks. How many years would that be? By the way, I cheat when I do that. I don't put 52 in there. It's too complicated. Make it 50. Then you get a round number. How many years? 192 years? How many of you spend more than an hour a week on the Word of God? Do you have 100, what did you say?
92.
I don't know. As I look around the room, many of us don't have 92 years. So here it tells us, study. Study. Do you want to be a good workman? We're to study. And don't be ashamed that we study the Word of God. Other people will laugh at you, Bible thumper. Should be proud. Now, I suppose there's a different connotation. You have to understand why they call you that. I'll leave that for another time. Then there's another part that I thought it was interesting. The word is rightly. Wait a minute now. So if there is a right way of dividing the word, does that mean there's a wrong way as well? Interesting, isn't it? Stress those words. It says rightly dividing the word of God. Now, I'm going to read the Darby because I know people always jump to this. It says this. It doesn't say study. It says strive. Interesting, different word altogether, isn't it? Strive diligently to present thyself approved to God, a workman that has not to be ashamed. Now, it's interesting. It didn't say dividing the word of God. It says cutting in a straight line the word of truth. Now, Mr. Mearns, some of you weren't here, spoken about a line that he set in the front lawn to keep his little boy from crossing so he doesn't walk under the street. You know, I think maybe I can borrow that example a little bit. And he said his little boy will go out there, look at the line, and when nobody's looking, he kicks it and just push it out a little bit further. And then he looks again, no one else looking, and he push it out a bit further. Am I right in saying that? I did hear that part. And sometimes he'll tippy toe 1 foot over and say, well, I didn't really cross the line. I'm still. Do we do that? Do we do that with the truth? Well, it's not really what it means. I will leave this to your conscience, brethren. But that's what I had in regard to workmen. Now, then, I have one more thought in regard to workmen. Sometimes we think things are not fair. How many of you ever thought things are not fair? Yeah, especially your sister gets more than you, right? And mom seems to like her more than I. So I just want to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers. And we won't spend a lot of time, we're not going into it deeply. Just some principle I want you to remember. So I'm sorry, this may be a little bit more for the 3 or 4 years old, but that's what I had on my heart. So I hope the older one would learn from it too. Numbers chapter 7. Now, in the book of Numbers, it talks about the Levites. Just suffice to say for now, the Levites, the priesthood, they really, we can use it as in connection to us as Christians too, as to the priestly service. There were three brothers in particular that have the special dealing with transporting the tabernacle. So Aaron is a Levite, but Aaron has a special spot where his sons are the only one that can be the high priest. But here it talks about the Levites. So let me just read some verses. I just want to draw just a portion about what's fair. So there are three boys, become the three families. So I'm going to start with verse 7. I'll start with verse 6. And Moses took the wagons, so people donated wagons to Moses for the service of the Lord. And I think it's good that we donate things for the Lord's service. And so there were oxens and gave them unto the Levites. See, the Levites were a special tribe. They were selected to do the Lord's service. They did not have an earthly portion. So the rest of them have to take care of the Levites, just like we should take care of the Lord's people and the Lord's servants. So in verse 7, now Moses took the wagons, it says, and two wagons, notice the numbers, if you like to be fair, remember these numbers. There were two wagons and the oxens, I'm sorry, two wagons and four oxens he gave to the sons of Gershon, according to the service. So the Gershonites, if you remember, they have to remove the covering of the tabernacle, the tent, and so on. So, excuse me. Moses said, you get two wagons to do your work. Now let's go to verse 7. Verse 8. And four wagons to his brother. Is that fair? Doesn't seem fair. And four wagons and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merari. Oh, his brother must be more favor, right? Gershon only got two wagons and two oxens. Now, let's go down a little bit further. There is one more brother. But unto the sons of Kohath. Now, let's see if this is fair. He gave how many? None. He gave none because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. Now, there's a lot of meanings to that. Sunday school, so we won't go into it. I'll bring out the thought I had in my heart is the Lord give according to the service that he sees us do. Is it fair? Fair has nothing to do with it. So he may give you more because you may have to bear more. He may give you little or none because the service in the sanctuary where the Lord is require not just physical service. You know, to me it's much better. You know, you see me, we were watching some children yesterday. I said to my wife, give me a broom, I'd rather sweep the floor. Sometimes it's easier, but the Lord wants us to be different kind of workmen. We need to know what the Lord would have us to do. And we use what we have. Now, I got one more verse, and then we can get back to our singing and verses. We were in the book of Ephesians. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. So we just finished talking about we are workmen for the Lord. But I find this precious. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, we are not just workmen, we are his workmanship. You know, you look at someone who builds things, they will say, I have pride in my workmanship. Am I right, Mr. Burns? There is a little thing to say, I did this. It go by my standard. There is pride. Well, the Lord has pride too in his workmanship and that we are to walk in the good of it. So we have to enjoy what he has set for us. We don't look around at our brethren and say, how come Tim got four wagons and I have nothing? Or you might even exaggerate. Yeah, he gave me a wagon and I have no oxen to pull, and now I got to pull the wagon myself. You know, one of the questions, young people especially, I'll tell you, this takes a long time to learn. I'm still learning. Never ask the Lord why. Never ask the Lord why. He allows circumstances into your lives. Well, you're old enough to know that you faced a few circumstances too, didn't you? And he allowed those things into our lives to strengthen us, to build up our faith and our trust. The few words we no longer use, at least not often, faithfulness. Did you have that in your conversation with that word before? Dependence. A lot of words in the Word of God, we read about the word diligent. We don't even use those words, earnest. So it's good to turn to his word, study, to show yourself approved to God. You're not coming up to, Mr. So, I memorized 16 chapters in 2 weeks. I would say that's nice, that's commendable. But are we doing it for the Lord? And I'll say one more thing. What are we to learn in there? This is what I like about Sunday school. Well, we don't have little children. Now, you children probably notice that. Have you ever noticed when someone stand up to speak, they say, I'm going to ask you boys and girls a question. And a lot of times, arms going up. And the speaker will go, well, I haven't asked a question yet. But their arms up already. And you know, especially with little kids, you know what they say? They say, what is it? They go, Jesus. And you go, you're right. I haven't asked a question yet, but the answer is Jesus. And we need to learn too. What do you read that you don't understand? The question would be Jesus. How do you see Jesus in the passage? This is all about my Savior and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Let's sing another hymn before we move on. I lost my hymn sheet. Thank you. And we still have time quickly for verses right after this. Oh, I didn't see you. Go. Number 46. Glad to you know, I have to confess, I don't know what this week's verse is. Does anyone have last week's Sunday school paper for me? Oh, you do? Okay. Can I borrow that? Yeah. Or do you need to look at it? Okay, you say it to me. Hang on a second so we can all hear. Okay. What? Go ahead, say the verse.
Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19.
Thank you. Would you be my helper passing this out? Now, you do know helpers can't touch it, right? I'm just kidding. You take one for yourself first. But what are we supposed to remember when you eat it? You look at the candy and say, what was it, Adam? Fools, you're going to be consumed. Okay. Who else? Maybe I'll just go down the aisle instead of crisscrossing. Oh, thank you. Okay.
Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Thank you. You know, this is hard to comprehend because gold don't corrupt from our standard. It says it'll corrupt. You know, how much is gold? Do you know how much they are worth? How much? Like $100 an ounce. Well, that would be back in your grandpa's day. Before I left, it was $1,400 an ounce. Can you imagine that? Oh, and they cheated. It's not like the ounce you're thinking of. It's a little bit less. They call that a troy ounce. So you don't get a full ounce. But you're right. It's precious. It's expensive.
We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
1 Peter 1:18.
Okay, you read. Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18.
Thank you. 19. Oh, I didn't finish this side. Do you want to say your verse? Do you know your verse? Do you want to say your verse? You do. Okay. We know. I'm sorry. We were not redeemed. With corruptible things. As silver and gold. Thank you. Do you want to try it? Okay.
They were not redeemed with silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ.
Thank you. Just so you know, that was without help. I lost track of where I am. I would do on the front road. Anyone? Okay.
That ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Good.
Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Thank you. You boys
want to
try it?
I can.
You can.
Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Good. Very good.
Ye know that ye were not redeemed by the corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Thank you. You boys want to try it too, or you pass that? No? Sure? Yes? No?
For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Thank you. Someone has been studying. Anyone back there? No. Did I miss anyone? Oh, you have to stand up.
For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Do you want to try it? Okay.
You know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19.
Okay.
You know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. I'll say it.
1 Peter 1:18-19.
Oh, I got to go way back. Okay.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
Very good. Are you going to try it too? Okay. Oh.
For you know.
Yeah, what to say?
For you know.
Do you know? That's okay. Thank you. Did I miss anyone else? I thank you because... Thank you for helping me. You know, I always tell people I was always afraid to say it. Part of it is because I couldn't say it. Let's go. We've got time for one more hymn. Someone back there? No? No? Okay.
47.
That big girl down there gave out 47. When he cometh, when
he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adoring, gracious shining his beauty, bright gems for his crown.
Commit ourselves to the Lord. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks again this morning for thy word being presented to us. We do pray that thou would make it good to our heart. We pray that the Spirit in us may use it to teach us more of thy blessed ways. Now we look to thee, we think of many children, many young people who were children not that long ago, and many who are going into the age of responsibility. We pray for them, Lord. Thou knowest that Satan is there either to discourage them or some distractions to draw them away. So we pray. We think of how we sometimes sing that hymn, "Preserve thy flock most graciously within thy sheltering fold." So we think of how the Apostle Paul of old could commit to the Ephesians elders there that he could say that he commit them to the grace of thy word. So we likewise trust that thou would look after our young one, our little one, and that we too can commit them into the grace of thy word. So we ask for continual help for us. We think too of the privilege we shall have shortly, if thou still tarry, Lord Jesus, the privilege of remembering thee and thy death for us. We pray that thou would exercise our hearts. Thou would draw us. Thou would draw us back to the cross and be reminded once more of thy depth, the depth of thy depth of sorrows. Surely we know that no heart could e'er conceive. We thank thee. We can have had the privilege of doing so, as thy word could say, this do in remembrance of me. So we give thanks this morning once more and ask for blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.